Beloved, the true body of Christ is defined by those who, quote, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. That is Galatians 5:24, which says, they that are Christ's, those that are presently Christ, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. They've reckoned themselves, as Romans 6 says, dead indeed on the sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. They therefore hear his voice, and they follow him, and are kept safe and sound with and in him, and in his care, the care of the one who is the good shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep. Hebrews 13:20. Jesus promised eternal life, and that no man can pluck us out of the hand of God. But who did he promise that to? Who was that promise made to? Are you willing to begin to become a biblical Christian who follows Christ in a real way? Are you willing to lay aside the doctrines of mere men so that you can know God and be exactly in his will? Do you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Jesus said this, and speaking about himself as the good shepherd who knows his sheep, and he's known of his sheep. He who laid down his life for the sheep. John 10:14-15. And in verse 27, the great shepherd of the sheep says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, we want to say that we know Jesus, but the big question is, does he know us? Okay, that's what's going to matter on the final day. Remember, Jesus told us that on that day of judgment, many, not a few, but many who think they're saved now in this day, are going to say to him in that final day, Lord, Lord, have we not done, we even did all these great works in your name. We cast out devils, we prophesied, we did many wonderful works. We served at church, we listened to the pastor, we went to church, we were always there, every time the doors were open. You know, Jesus is going to say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. You workers of iniquity or lawlessness. They were not submitted to the Lord's the lordship of Christ. So Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Three things here. His sheep hear his voice, he knows them, and they follow him. Two parts for us, to hear his voice and to follow him. To hear his voice and to follow him. And if we're learning to follow him, then we are going to the cross. Remember, throughout Jesus' time on the earth, he spoke of his decease, which he would accomplish. He spoke of his hour that had come, and for this hour that he came was to die on a cross, to be sacrificed for the sins of the whole world, to give his life, his very life, to be nailed on a cross so that his precious, divine, sinless, precious blood could flow down and redeem and be the payment, the complete payment for the sins of the whole world. He is the propitiation, not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 2:2. John 19:30, Jesus said, it is finished. Jesus shed his blood to pay for the sins of the whole world. Jesus went to the cross, and that's where we're headed, daily and in the future. See, if we are following Jesus, we are following him to the cross, to death, to the death of self. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Jesus said, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies and is buried and died, it springs forth and bears much fruit. John 10:24-26. And where I am, there you will be, those that follow me, he said. But are we going to be with him where he is if we don't follow him? The clear answer is no. Jesus spoke of that cross that he would ultimately bear for us while he walked on the earth with his disciples. He was headed for the cross, and yet he had already resigned himself to do only those things that the Father showed him to do, and to say only those things which pleased his Father. John 10:27-29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If we follow Jesus, we're living the crucified life. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Galatians 5:24. Paul said, Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Paul also said that we're always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal bodies. Why? So that other people can know him, and so that God can be glorified through the apprehending of lost souls into his kingdom. My sheep hear my voice, he said, and I know them, and they follow me. Jesus' true sheep are hearing his voice, present tense, and they are following him. They're following him. We have a personal responsibility to hear the voice of God and to follow him. And the only way you're going to do that is to be broken before him and to come before him and to spend time with him and to read his word, to study, to show yourself approved, and pray that God would cause it to go into your heart and to circumcise the hearing ear of your heart. Remember the word heart. What's the middle part of the word heart? E-A-R, right? Ear. We have an inner ear. The Bible says over and over, Jesus said it 7 times, once to every one of the 7 churches he addressed in Revelation 2 and 3. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Actually, that's in the book of Hebrews, but that does apply, and that is something he spoke. But he said this, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now before that, and to every one of the churches, these aren't the lost, this is the churches, those that claim to believe on him, those that have been born again and are fellowshipping with his people, he says, he that overcometh, he qualifies it, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Revelation 3:5-6. He promises to confess us before the Father and before his angels. But who's he talking to? It's qualified. He's talking to he that overcometh. It's those that overcome. Not just those who were initially saved, but those that overcome that are going to be clothed in white raiment. That he will not blot out their names out of the book of life. Obviously, they were already in there. But I will confess it. These promises are conditional. You have a part in your salvation, just like every bride has a part in her marriage with the bridegroom. She has to agree when the bridegroom invites her to be engaged or espoused to him for marriage in the future, a set date. She has to agree. The same is true with Jesus and his bride. Jesus has to have your agreement that you are going to take his hand and walk with him through an engagement period ultimately leading to marriage. At this point, my friend, Jesus has not come. We have not eaten the great supper of the Lamb with him yet in heaven. We're still on probation. We have agreed to enter into a relationship with him upon confessing our sins, repenting and turning fully to him and placing our trust in him. But we're engaged or espoused to him. We're not with him in heaven in the marriage chamber of intimacy and blessed bliss yet. And so Jesus, this is what Jesus taught. Who are you following? Are you following John Calvin and his modern day cronies and Reformed theology and all of its utter diabolical error? Or are you following Jesus Christ? The one who bled on the cross for you. Let me encourage you to go burn all of those ridiculous books and get into the raw, naked Word of God. Are you going to continue to be misled and led astray away from the fear of God? If you continue to read those books that are not biblical and to not discern that they're not biblical because you're refusing to study the Word of God, you are choosing not to fear the Lord. The Scripture speaks of the judgments that's coming upon those who did not choose the fear of the Lord. It's a choice. Proverbs 1:29. They did not choose to fear God. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. I believe that's Proverbs 14:27. Now, back to our John 10 text, where Jesus said, "My sheep do what? They hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They are crucified with Christ. They have reckoned the deeds of the body to be dead." They're dead to sin and alive to Christ. You're either one or the other. You're either alive in Christ and dead to sin, or dead to sin and alive in Christ. Or you're alive to sin, you're still living in sin, and you're dead to Christ. You're outside of Christ. And you cannot be saved outside of the only Savior, Jesus Christ. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. They've put the axe to the root. They have reckoned themselves to be dead because they love him supremely and they want his life in them. They are always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus because they want the blessed presence and life of Jesus teeming and filling them, teeming within them. Romans 6, beginning in verse 1, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" Do you not understand that you were baptized into Jesus, you were baptized into his death? That's not talking about water baptism, which is symbolic of the spiritual substance here. That when you got saved, you laid down your life, you're dead, and now he lives. Therefore, verse 4, "We are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." You see, newness of life manifested in an individual believer's life is this clear proof that he is buried with Christ and being raised up by Christ to his resurrection and the life. A person that does not walk in newness of life does not live after the new man, does not live in the spirit that produces what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, etc. That is the character of Christ produced in the life of every true believer. If the fruit of the Spirit is not being produced in your life, it is because you are not a child of God. The Bible says, "The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." 2 Timothy 2:19. and to be crucified with Christ. Verse 5, Romans 6, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You see, friend, the life of self is death, and the death of self is life. He must increase, I must decrease. And when I do, and my life is laid down before him, bowed down in utter humility, crucified with Christ, reckoned to be dead to sin and to self and to this world and Satan, and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord, then I am going to be hearing his voice. I'm following Jesus, which was to the cross. My sheep hear my voice. Do you hear the voice of God? Are you led by the Spirit of God? Are the fruit of the Spirit being produced in your life? Is the fruit of the Spirit? Does Christ truly know you? Are you living a fairy tale? Many are going to find out in utter shock that they didn't really know, or he didn't really know them in an intimate kingdom, familial relationship. The Bible says, if any man love God, the same is known of him. You see, we always want to emphasize how much God loves us. I want to ask you this, friend. How much do you love God? You see, who we love and who we fear, we serve. Those who truly love and know and fear the Lord serve the Lord. The Bible says, he that saith, I know him, and yet keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected or matured and clear, manifested. Hereby know we that we are in him. We see, friend, we know we are in him when his fruit is in our lives. We will know our own self by our fruit. That it's not a mere confession, it's a knowledge, it's an intimate union with Christ, a oneness. We're in him. We're crucified to self. We've reckoned it dead. And we're in Christ. You can't go into Christ and be in Christ with sin. Therefore, you've got to reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin. And then you'll be blessed to be made alive in Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. Then verse 6 of 1 John 2 says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. And how did Jesus walk? Jesus walked as going to the cross. Okay? And we are to be crucified with him now that he's died once. He's died once, nailing our sins to the cross, taking them out of the way so that we could have fellowship with him. In light of this truth, we are to likewise, Romans 6:11, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, you that are crucified with Christ, that is. For you are not under the law, but under grace. See, the grace of God is abounding in the life of all those whose lives are laid down. Somebody says, well, well, I go to church. I'm faithful to the pastor. I'm there every time the doors are open. That's not what Jesus called you to be. He called you to be crucified with Christ. God might not lead you if you're crucified with Christ. I know this is going to scare the wits out of a lot of people. He might not lead you every Sunday morning to go to some church house, quote unquote. By the way, can you really go to church? No, you can't go to church. You are the church. We are the church. 24/7, 365. Kingdom life doesn't limit itself to Wednesday night and Sunday morning and Sunday evening. I'm done with that stuff myself. I'm bored out of my wits with that man-made structure. The early church met house to house daily. And they did four things. We see as we peer into the end of Acts 2, the early church before corruption entered in, right after the church was born on Pentecost, same chapter. They did four things. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They fellowshiped together. They broke bread together. They ate together. And also they prayed together. We got evidence, Colossians 3:16, of singing together. Okay? Are you really a member of the true body of Christ? Or are you just faithful to a local church and loving church life as far as the little local church has set it up as? And not even realizing that you're not really following Christ. You're following this little program. Well, we have our little life group and, you know, whatever. We're going through such and such's book. And listen, are you going into the Bible? Are you going through the Bible? And is the Bible going through you? The sword of the Spirit and circumcising your heart. That's what really matters. Do you know Him and does He know you? Back to John 10:27-29, where we'll finish. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." Jesus told us who his sheep were. Those that hear his voice and follow him. And the cross is right in the center of hearing him and following him. If you're going to follow him, he said, you've got to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. If we're not denying ourselves and taking up our cross, we're not following Jesus. Okay? Somebody, again, might say, well, I'm faithful to the pastor and to the local. That's not what Jesus said to do to follow him. He said, deny yourself. Take up your cross. Sometimes, I'm just going to give you a for instance. God might say, son, I want you to deny yourself going to that church building this Sunday morning. You might even be on the way to church. Who knows? Or the church house, as we call it, or the gathering place. And God might say, I want you to pull over and help this man, if you're a man. I want you to go get him some food. I want you to help this guy fix his car. You see, to obey is better than sacrifice, but it's only those whose lives are laid down that can hear the voice of the great shepherd and follow him to do the things that he wants him to do. I want you to stay home this morning. I want you to fast this morning, and I want you to seek my face. I want you to get in my word. I want you to get your hands in the air and worship me and let me break you and cry out to me to create in you a clean heart. You see, most of us are so religious that we couldn't do that. We wouldn't obey Christ because we don't fear him. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them, those that are hearing my voice and follow me, eternal life. And they, those that are hearing my voice and following me, shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them, who's them, those that are presently hearing the voice of Jesus and following him. Verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them, who's them, those that he knows and that are hearing his voice and following him, they're participating with him, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You see, only by hearing and following do we receive eternal life, a life in which we will never perish. Beloved, are you hearing His voice and following Him? The only way you can do that is so. This isn't the only scripture in the Bible. Some people act like Romans 9 and this passage, actually they skip verse 27, which is pivotal to verse 28 and 29. You cannot understand verse 28 and 29 unless you understand verse 27. Now remember, this is all one discourse. Jesus, we're the ones that put the numbers on the verses, beloved. But it is amazing, and I'm glad they did that. It's amazing to me that most of the people I've ever talked to believe in Calvin's false teachings. It's very obvious that somebody has focused them in on verse 27 and 28 as if verse 28 and 29, as if verse 27 were not also the words of Jesus. Okay, and that's how we get deceived, is that we don't read the Bible ourselves. I used to be a part of a completely false movement after the Lord had saved me. The Word of Faith movement. But as I kept reading the whole of Scripture, the truth began to permeate my heart and leaven out the lies, and it began to wake me up to, whoa. It made me realize, the Lord did, through His truth and through studying His truth, that these hucksters, all of the Word of Faith movement, everybody in there is a complete deceiver. You can put my name on that if you want. You couldn't be in that movement unless you espouse certain false teachings and to make merchandise of people, etc. Now, what they were doing was they were going into certain verses and siphoning them out and raising them up as if they had more authority than the rest of Scripture. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. But it's only those who study to show themselves approved unto God that become workmen that need not to be ashamed, because they're able to rightly divide the word of truth, that are going to be able to see. Now, if after reading verse 27, where Jesus said in John 10 here, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me," you can never, if you embrace the truth fully within Christ and in the Spirit, you could never be hoodwinked by somebody who comes along and tries to just emphasize verse 28 and 29 of John 10 and preach this message that is external from the Bible about, you know, your security and all these cliches I mentioned earlier, you know, and all this whole system of man's theology called Reformed theology begins to be exposed for what it is. Because Jesus is not going to drag any sheep back into His fold or into His fold to begin with. Nobody's going into God's heaven with their heels dug in. The Bible says the bride hath made herself ready. She's a willing participant. She loves her bridegroom. She's ready to give herself for Him out of her own volitional will, out of her own choice and desire to love Him and to even be swallowed up in Him to the point where she loses her own name and takes on His. They become one. And that's what's going to happen when Jesus comes back. We're going to be made one with Him. Amen. And we're going to have a new name. Praise God. As it says in Revelation. So His sheep hear His voice. He knows them. They follow Him. And it's to them that He promises eternal security. There is eternal security, but it's only to those that are currently, I should say eternal assurance. And that assurance is to those that are currently hearing His voice and following Him. By doing that, they demonstrate that they are His children and that they're obeying Him, but denying themselves, taking up the cross and following Him. And He knows them. He knows them. That's paramount to saying their names are written in the book of life. Their names are written in the book of life. He knows them. This is an indelible writing in the book of life either, as we read a minute ago in Revelation chapter 3 verse 5, that names can be blotted out of the book of life. They had to be in there to be blotted out. Also, Revelation 22:18 and 19 tell us the same thing. And there are two verses in the Old Testament that speak of names being blotted out of the book of life. Okay, now for more information on this subject, I want to point you to a book, a resource that is chock full of scripture from Genesis to Revelation addressing this matter of eternal security and a lot of the teachings that are out there concerning this matter, and most of all, what Holy Scripture says concerning it. You can find that resource, Lie of the Ages, at safeguardyoursoul.com. God bless you.